Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Senate Local Government. This is our first meeting. We have two bills this morning. We'll go through some housekeeping first. The first thing I'd like to do is introduce our staff, my very able Secretary Rita Rodman. We have Tom Magadance, our staff person from Legislative Research, and we have Paige's Diana Arbell from Hoven and Amber Delman from Brandon. We appreciate your being here. They're here for 2 weeks. The PAGE program is a great experience for them to see government. We also have interns with us today. My intern is Emily Kerr from Highmore. We also have Emily Cody from Rapid City, Senator Adelstein's intern. And we have Kylie Schaefer from Platt, the Democratic intern. Excellent. It's nice to have you here. Welcome to local government. Before we adopt any rules or anything, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Adelstein.
Here.
Broderick.
Here.
Dempster.
Here.
Klocek. Tubbles.
Here.
Gray.
Here.
Dunifan.
Here. Please have the minutes reflect that a quorum is present. I'll go through the procedure with you very quickly. We'll do it every meeting so that we know exactly what's going to happen. We have two bills this morning. I'm going to take the proponents, then the opponents, and then we'll close to discussion and or action by the committee. When you testify, please sign in outside the door, legibly print your name so our secretary can have it for our minutes. And also, if you're a lobbyist for any group, please make sure you have your badge on if you're a registered lobbyist and you identify yourself. When you come to the table, please identify yourself clearly and, again, any group or particular interest that you have. Right now, before we do anything, I would like to have a motion. The temporary bills or temporary rules are in the back of your book. Chair would entertain a motion to adopt those rules until permanent rules are adopted. It's been moved by Senator Dempster. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Broderick. Discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say, is that a voice vote, I believe? All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, or I'm sorry, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The temporary rules are adopted. We have no minutes to approve, so we'll go immediately to the hearing. Now is the time and place for the hearing on Senate Bill 7. Mr. Secretary of State, welcome to local government.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Chris Nelson, Secretary of State. Good to be back with this committee. We have two bills that I'd like to present today, Senate Bill 7 and 8. And as with most of the bills that my office brings to the legislature, these have been reviewed by the State Board of Elections. And for particularly for the new members of the committee, if I could explain, the State Board of Elections is a seven-person board. I am the chairperson of that by virtue of office. And there are six other members. Two of them are county auditors of each political party. And the other four members are lay people from around the state that are appointed by the legislative leadership, two Republicans and two Democrats. And that board deals with the issues of election change, what needs to happen to the process, and then they recommend to me those changes, and I bring them on to the legislature. And so both of the bills you're going to see today have gone through that process and received their approval. Directly to Senate Bill 7, this deals with an issue in road district elections. Road districts are a governmental subdivision found in various parts of the state. And this particular issue was brought to me by an attorney that deals a lot with road district law. And particularly, as they were getting ready to do a road district election, they discovered that there's nothing in the statute that requires the road district to notify the people of the district of what vacancies there are for that particular election. For every other kind of election we do, we always do a public notice saying, hey, folks, here's the vacancies in this subdivision. If you want to run, here's how you do it. And so what we've simply added to the statute with Senate Bill 7 is a requirement that the road district publish, either publish or provide notice to the people in the road district of the vacancies that are available to be filled in their road district. I'd be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there further proponents on Senate Bill 7? Seeing none, we'll move to opponents. Are there any opponents on Senate Bill 7? Seeing none, we'll close to committee discussion and or action. Senator Broderick.
Thank you. A question of
the secretary. In the addition to Senate Bill 7 or to the statute, when a person has been terminated for whatever reason as an elected officer of the road district, regardless of the time of that termination, do they have a special election?
I don't believe so. This is dealing with the issue of when terms normally end in preparation for their annual election. There's another section of law that deals with vacancies that occur during someone's term, and those would be filled by a vote of the remaining members of that road district board.
I see.
Just like if there's a vacancy for county commission or something like that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dempster.
Help me understand. I'm not aware of there any notice of vacancy in a county commission election or in an election for the state legislature or the United States Congress. I'm not aware that we have those, but this seems this would say that we would have some sort of a notification of the vacancy on a road district. Help me understand.
If I might, actually, every election year there is a notice of vacancy for all of those offices that is published. My guess is it's probably published in late February, early March, and it lists all the different offices that people can file petitions for. And if you're running for county office, you file at the county auditor. If you want to run for U.S. Senate, you file at the Secretary of State. And so that is published in all of our official newspapers.
And that's where we would see that notice, somewhere,
yes.
Somewhere deep within the legals that are published by the presumably by the counties?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Adelstein.
Thank you. I move do pass.
It's been moved do pass, and we have a second on that. Is there discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Dempster.
Aye.
Tubals.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Donovan.
Aye. That vote will go to the floor with an affirmative due pass motion. Senator Adelstein.
Madam Chairman, I ask that this be put on the consent calendar.
Okay, is there a second? Seconded by Senator Dempster. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Senate Bill 7 will go to the floor on the consent calendar. Senator Broderick, would you carry that in your caucus? And Senator Tubals, would you carry that in your caucus if there are any questions? Thank you. Mr. Secretary, you're up again on Senate Bill 8. There is a bill brief in all of the members' book.
Thank you. Chris Nelson, Secretary of State, again asking for your support for Senate Bill 8. This deals with a couple of issues regarding ballot counting machinery, and that whole area is changing in South Dakota and indeed across the country. And a large part of that change is being driven by the Help America Vote Act, which is a federal law passed a couple of years ago that is requiring changes. And while that bill did not outlaw punch card voting machines, it strongly encouraged counties and states to do away with those machines and, in fact, provided some federal money as incentive to do such. Within South Dakota, 4 years ago, we had 10 counties that used punch card machines. All 10 counties have taken some of that federal money and done away with their punch card machines and obtained optical scan counting machines. And therefore, we no longer use punch card ballots in South Dakota. A large part of Senate Bill 8 removes punch card ballot language from our statute. It's no longer needed, and so we're simply cleaning that out of statute. One of the other requirements of the Help America Vote Act is that by 2006, every polling place in America have some type of a touchscreen voting machine where a person can come up and touch the screen, touch the name of their candidate or their choice, and vote via that electronic medium. The reason for that requirement is largely to assist people that have some type of physical disability. Perhaps their hands don't work well enough to fill in that little oval, or maybe they're blind and they obviously can't see a ballot, and they can use one of these machines, put on a set of headphones, and it will read the ballot to them, and they can vote in that fashion. Because of that federal requirement, companies across the United States are developing new kinds of voting machinery. And one of those new kinds of machinery that has been recently demonstrated to our State Board of Elections is a type of machinery, and the term that we have given it on page 2, line 20 and 21, is an electronic ballot marking system. And briefly, this system has a touchscreen mechanism where a ballot will appear on the screen and you touch the name of your candidate. And that machinery then literally marks your ballot for you. So if you can't fill in the little oval, or you're blind and you can't see the ballot, this machine will literally mark your ballot for you. And this is a brand new concept, and our statutes currently require the State Board of Elections to certify any ballot counting machinery that's used in the state before it can be used, make sure it meets standards. And so the optical scan counting machines that we use across the state, those are certified by the State Board before they're sold and used. What we're asking for in this bill is that this new type of machinery, this ballot marking system, that it also be certified by the State Board of Elections so that we have a chance to look at this, make sure it meets the minimum specifications, that it works accurately, and that all of those kinds of things are taken care of before these companies go out and sell them to counties across the state. And so we're simply asking with this bill that we treat those kinds of systems just like we're currently treating the optical scan ballot systems. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Further proponents? Further proponents? If not, are there any opponents? This is an easy morning. Any opponents? If not, we'll close to committee discussion, questions, and or action. Senator Dempster, first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is just a ballot counting, or a ballot marking machine, and then the ballots that are then taken and then optically scanned as our other ballots. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Senator?
Mr. Secretary, in reading this, I recall that any governing body may experiment with any kind of technology that they feel is might be better than what they're currently using or what has been suggested by your office. How far can they carry that? Does that have to be approved?
That is correct. The statute does currently use that language, but whatever system they use, it has to have received certification from the State Board of Elections before they can use it. And so it has to go through that minimum process.
Senator Adelstein, question.
Where is that? I guess maybe I missed it. Is that contained in this portion here that it must be for?
If I might respond, section 3 of the bill on the bottom of page 3 is the current section of law that requires automated tabulating systems to be certified by the State Board of Elections and that they meet certain minimum standards before we certify those. And so that's the current law, and we're simply asking that we add in this electronic ballot marking system to that certification requirement.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Follow-up questions, then? Okay. Senator Dempster.
Move to pass.
We have a do pass motion by Senator Dempster, a second by Senator Adelstein. Is there discussion on that do pass motion? Hearing none, all those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Dempster. Tubles.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Benefit.
Aye. Please have the minutes reflect Senate Bill 8. We'll go to the floor with a unanimous do pass motion. Senator Dempster. We have a consent motion by Senator Dempster. Is there a second? By Senator Broderick. Discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. It goes to the floor, Senate Bill 8, on the consent calendar. Is there anything from any of the members? Those are our only two bills today. I want to thank you for doing your work in 15 minutes or less. I'm not sure it'll always be that easy. Senator Gray, would you take Senate Bill 8 in your caucus? Senator Tubles, would you be kind enough? The Secretary of State would be more than happy to offer any additional explanation you would like. Senator Broderick.
I'd just like to compliment you on how you put together our books for the meeting. Having having the floor explanation of a bill and having the bills enclosed, that's very handy and appropriate.
Thank you. I think we're going to do some good work here in local government this year, and with my very able vice chair, Senator Gray from Peer, we'll move forward. And again, if there's no other business before this committee, chair would entertain a motion for adjournment. It's been moved by Senator Broderick, seconded by Senator Gray. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you.